This is Ham College, episode 141, for July 10th, 2026. Ham College is brought to you by ICOM. Fun, sun, and QSO. From base stations to portable models, ICOM has the best radios for working your favorite bands this summer. Good evening and welcome to another episode of Ham College. I'm Professor Thomas.
And I'm Dean Martin.
And we're studying for the Amateur Radio General Class Exam, Part 2. We began it last episode, so this will be the next episode.
Wow. Yeah, this is the next episode after the after the previous one.
Wow. I feel totally redeemed. Well, what did we talk about last time?
Last time? Let me think about that. I think we talked about general class control operator frequency privileges, primary and secondary allocations, best I can recall.
That sounds right. And we're going to talk about antenna structure limitations. Good engineering and good amateur practice, beacon operation, prohibited transmissions, and retransmitting radio signals. That sounds like a whole lot, but it's really only 11 questions.
Really?
Yeah.
It does sound like a whole lot. That's yeah. Like 11 topics, that's, one topic per question.
That's
one
a
question
lot, per topic. A lot of topics for your money tonight. Before we get too far, we do want to mention that Ham College is getting its own YouTube channel. It will be separated from the Amateur Logic YouTube channel. Of course, if you're watching live, the streaming's always going to be live.amateurlogic.tv. But the new Ham College channel will be youtube.com/@hamcollege-altv.
Yeah, so be sure to go over there and subscribe.
Yeah, so that you don't miss a single exciting episode.
Even if you're the, even if you watch the live stream, it's good to go subscribe to the other one. It helps the channel grow. It helps YouTube push it out so more people can find it.
Yeah.
So we appreciate that. Appreciate you guys' support.
We've had field day since we were last here.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kind of recovering from it.
Me too.
It was quite hot.
It was, yeah.
The setup and teardown was hot.
For some reason, it was affecting the casting. I don't know if the lead weighed less or what the deal was.
I don't know. Maybe the caster's mojo was gone.
It could have been. But we did manage to get the antennas up, and I think field day this year was probably one of the best ones we've done.
Yeah, as a two-man team. I would say probably the best one.
Yeah.
I feel like it was anyway.
Yeah. Definitely was.
We'll have some field day coverage of the next Amateur Logic.
And when will
that be? Next
Friday. Next Friday the 17th.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to get busy.
I do too, because I haven't edited part
I've
got yet.
Yeah, two of us. What is the maximum height above ground for an antenna structure not near a public use airport without requiring notification to the FAA and registration with the FCC? A, 50 feet.
B, 100 feet.
C, 200 feet.
Or D, 250 feet.
I actually think I might remember this one.
Yeah. Well,
maybe.
I know this one. What is a maximum height above ground for an antenna structure not near a public use airport without requiring notification to the FAA and registration with the FCC?
Back when you were a career guy, this is probably right up your alley.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty familiar with this and tower regulations for stuff in this height range. I just go straight to it. It's 200 feet. As a matter of fact, if you're less than 200 feet, you don't even have to light the tower. Unless you're near an airport. So, you might have some problems with your neighbors if you try to erect a 200-foot tower in a crowded residential area. But, hey, if you got the room and you're out in the open,
200-foot tower would be pretty nice.
It would be really nice. I wish I had even 100-foot.
The majority of AM radio stations are using towers near 200 feet. On the lower end of the dial, they'll be using something a little longer, but the upper end, 200 feet's just about the right height.
I know that one over off of Beasley Road where you used to be. I know that one I climbed up that time was 125.
That was, yeah, but that was just a studio to transmitter link. It wasn't the actual broadcasting tower. The three out in the field, that station's on 620. So those were 300-foot towers. They should have been 400 feet to be a quarter wavelength at that frequency. But they were 300 feet. They weren't that far from an airport. I guess maybe that's all they could get was permission for 300 feet.
200 feet? Nailed it.
How'd they do in the chat room on that? Everybody got it right.
The few that answered.
Okay. Tom says he's subscribed now.
Awesome. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. And everyone else.
Thank you for your support.
Yep. And so is W3ASR.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. With which of the following conditions must beacon stations comply? A, no more than one beacon station may transmit in the same band from the same station location.
B, the frequency must be coordinated with the National Beacon Organization.
C, the frequency must be posted on the internet or published in a national periodical.
Or D, all these choices are correct. No more than one beacon station may transmit the same band from the same station. That sounds like a good policy right there. But let's look at the rest of them. The frequency must be coordinated with the NBO. I don't even think there's a national beacon organization that I've heard of. Frequency must be posted on the internet. No. So all these choices are not correct. I'm going with A. No more than one beacon station. I keep wanting to read that as bacon. Must be time to go get something to eat. Anyway, no more than one beacon station may transmit in the same band from the same station location. I don't know why you would want to do that.
I'm going to agree with you. Makes sense. I mean, because you know none of the rest of them are right.
Yeah. And if it was bacon, you know, that's different.
Yeah. There might be a national bacon organization.
I hope so. If it's not one, there should be.
And the internet thing, you know, that can't be right because that rule has probably been there before the internet.
No, I'm sure.
So, okay. Let's try another one.
Which of the following is the purpose of a beacon station as identified in the FCC rules? A, observation of propagation and reception.
B, automatic identification of repeaters.
C, transmission of bulletins of general interest to amateur radio licensees.
Or D, all these choices are correct. Which following is the purpose of a beacon station as identified in the FCC rules? Yeah, I mean, I know what the answer is. I'm just trying to think of how to describe it. Well, it's not D. All those choices aren't correct. A beacon station doesn't transmit bulletins. It's not B, automatic identification of repeaters. It's A, observation and propagation and reception.
Mm-hmm.
That's my answer.
I would concur.
Yep. That's what they're saying over in the chat room. And I was just thinking maybe we should identify what a beacon station is. It's just generally a low-power station somebody sets up somewhere and on a particular frequency, and it probably just has an ID, and that would be about it. I guess maybe, I'm not sure the rules of what's allowed as far as transmission. Probably just an ID and maybe some kind of
descriptor. Wouldn't be transmission of bulletins of general interest to the amateur radio licensees, though.
No, because it's not used for anything but just seeing if you can receive it. And then you'll know how propagation is. If there's a 10-watt beacon in California and I can hear it here in Mississippi, there's a good chance I could talk to California.
Right.
That's what they're used for. Which of the following transmissions is permitted for all amateur stations? A, unidentified transmissions of less than 10-second duration for test purposes only.
B, automatic retransmission of other amateur signals by any amateur station.
C, occasional retransmission of weather and propagation forecast information from U.S. government stations.
Or D, encrypted messages if not intended to facilitate a criminal act. So I can tell you D is not it, because you cannot send any type of encrypted message over amateur radio of any means.
With one exception, but go ahead.
Okay. Occasional retransmission to weather and propagation forecast. I think that's probably permissible. Automatic retransmission of other amateur signals by any amateur station? No. Unidentified transmission of less than 10 seconds? No. I'm going with C on this one. C, occasional retransmission to weather and propagation forecast information from U.S. government stations.
Okay, chat room.
What are they saying?
Yeah, they're saying C.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I'm not right, we're all going down in the ship together.
Pretty much. It is C.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
There you go. Encrypt this. The one thing that you can send that is encrypted would be control messages, and I believe that may be exclusive, like a satellite station. You can send control commands to it that are encrypted, because it wouldn't be a good idea just to give everybody out in the clear
keys to the satellite.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think that's the only thing that you can encrypt.
Which of the following one-way transmissions are permitted? A, unidentified test transmission of less than 10 seconds in duration.
B, transmissions to assist with learning the International Morse code.
C, regular transmissions offering equipment for sale if intended for amateur radio use.
Or D, all of these choices are correct. Which of the following one-way transmissions are permitted? Unidentified test transmissions of less than 10 seconds in duration. No, unidentified transmissions aren't allowed. B, transmissions to assist with learning International Morse code. Well, I know that's okay, because there are stations that just send Morse code transmissions for people to learn the code by. C, regular transmissions offering equipment for sale if intended for amateur use. No, you can't just go on there and start broadcasting, "I've got radios for sale." In a one-way, that would be broadcasting when it's one-way. So it can't be D, all of these choices are correct. So it's B, transmissions to assist with learning the International Morse code.
I would concur with that.
Chat room. Yeah. And yes, as Tom said, in other words, kerchunking the repeater is technically illegal.
Not a lot of answering going on in there tonight.
There's not. But, you know, that's how we roll some nights.
Yeah.
B, transmissions to assist with learning International Morse code. That's not the only type of one-way transmissions that are permitted. There are others, but that's the only one out of those four that was correct.
Yeah. Where are the others?
Beacon. A beacon is a one-way transmission.
True. That's true.
And I'm going to leave it at that, but I believe the name of the other one would be a bulletin station. Like, you know, there are some amateur radio programs that are broadcast every week.
Yeah, like Newsline. stuff.
Like yeah, that. And so that would be one way, but I think it's very narrow. Yeah, Newsline used to do that. Oh, I don't.
They don't do that anymore?
I don't know.
Yeah, they used to do it around yeah. here some, but I hadn't heard it in forever and yeah. ever.
ARRLQST transmissions, that's one. I've got one for you this time. So
all right, and I'm going to answer it.
Okay.
Before taking a nap.
Under what conditions are state and local governments permitted to regulate amateur radio antenna structures? A, under no circumstances, FCC rules take priority.
B, at any time and to any extent necessary to accomplish a legitimate purpose of the state or local entity, provided that proper filings are made with the FCC.
C, only when such structures exceed 50 foot in height and are clearly visible 1,000 feet from the structure.
Or D, amateur service communications must be reasonably accommodated and regulations must constitute the minimum practical to accommodate a legitimate purpose of the state or local entity. What am I going to go with here, George?
One of the four.
Okay. I'll give you a clue. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going with one of the four.
Okay.
Okay. What's the answer?
It's
I'm
going
to go, go with D because that one sounds kind of PC sort of. Well, although I'm not sure that really happens. Like, let's see what the answer is first. I'm gonna go with D. I think that's probably it.
It is probably D. I think.
Should be A. Okay.
And that, my friends, is the first half of the questions for tonight.
Wow,
those went really quick.
Fun, Sun, and QSO. From base stations to portable models, ICOM has the best radios for working your favorite bands this summer. Whether outside enjoying sunny skies or inside by the AC, stay cool with ICOM. Kick back, enjoy the breeze, and make those QSOs with ease. The ICOM IC705 brings portable performance to operators who want HF, 50 MHz, VHF, and UHF capabilities beyond the shack. Compact, lightweight, and multi-mode, it supports single sideband, CW, RIDI, AM, FM, and D-Star DV, giving hams the flexibility to operate from a field day site, a campsite, a park, or a compact contest station. For contesting and field day, the IC705 is an excellent choice because it combines portability, operating versatility, and real-time band awareness. Its spectrum scope and waterfall display help operators find activity quickly, while its broad mode and band coverage support a wide range of contacts. Whether used as a club setup or a personal portable station, the IC705 delivers capable ICOM performance when every contact counts. Heard it, worked it, logged it. For more information about ICOM's amateur radios, visit icomamerica.com/amateur today.
Thanks, ICOM, for sponsoring Ham College.
Thank you, folks.
So we were talking about beacons earlier. Did you come to any conclusions on that?
I did find a place in the open ham clock to turn on the layer to show the International Beacon Project, IBP, mm-hmm. is the name of it. So if you search for IBP or International Beacon Project, you should find something about it. What are the restrictions on the use of abbreviations or procedural signals in the amateur service? A, only Q signals are permitted.
B, they may be used if they do not obscure the meaning of a message.
C, they are not permitted.
Or D, they are limited to those expressly listed in Part 97 of the FCC rules. I don't recall seeing a list of abbreviations in Part 97. So I don't think D is correct. What are the restrictions on using them? Only Q signals? Nah. We use Q signals a lot, but that's not the only thing that's permitted.
QSO.
They may be used if they do not obscure the meaning of a message. RC, they are not permitted. Well, they are permitted because we, just like you said, QSL. What does that mean?
Acknowledge.
Yep. So it's B. They may be used if they do not obscure the meaning of a message. That's what they're saying over in the chat room.
Oh, you nailed it. Okay, I figured you'd probably get this one.
Well, I got another really long one for you.
I think this was a setup.
When is it permissible to communicate with amateur stations in countries outside the area administrated by the Federal Communications Commission? A, only when the foreign country has a formal third-party agreement filed with the FCC.
B, when the contact is with amateurs in any country except those whose administrations have notified the ITU that they object to such communications.
C, only when the contact is with amateurs licensed in a country which is a member of the United Nations or by a territory possessed by such a country.
D, only when the contact is with amateurs licensed by a country which is a member of the International Amateur Radio Union or by a territory possessed by such a country. Oh, man. I knew I should have took that first question. When is it permissible to communicate with amateur stations in countries outside the areas administered by the Federal Communications Commission? I'm going to go with B or D. Yeah, B or D. That's okay. My final answer.
Well, I'm going to flip a coin to determine which one.
Well, like it land on B, because I think that's probably more it.
It's B.
Okay. I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it might be B.
It might be B.
It might be B.
That's what the chat room was saying.
Because I had a Q-so with somebody in Russia the other night in Moscow.
What'd y'all talk about?
5-9.
Okay. All right. Yes, that's a universal language there.
Yeah. He spoke really good English. You heard it, didn't you?
Yeah. I don't know if I made contact with him or not. Yeah, I did. Yeah. But yeah. And there was, everybody said B in the chat room. Aside from one person who changed their answer from A to B before we got to the end of all of that.
On what HF frequencies are automatically controlled beacons permitted? A, on any frequency if power is less than 1 watt.
B, on any frequency if transmissions are in Morse code.
C, 21.08 megahertz to 21.09 megahertz.
RD, 28.2 megahertz to 28.3 megahertz. On what HF frequencies are automatically controlled beacons permitted? Well, first, you would think you'd want to know what an automatically controlled beacon is.
I was thinking the same thing.
I was hoping you knew the answer because I don't know what really specifies that it's automatically controlled. I thought most beacons were automatically controlled, but I don't think A is the answer. I don't think B is the answer. So it is C or D. This is one of those you're just going to have to know the answer.
But C is 15 meters. I don't think it would be on 15 meters.
Well, D is 10 meters. Would you think it was on 10 meters?
I would think 10 meters is probably more likely than 15, but not that many people use 15 meters.
Well, this is going to be the question that trips up most people because when I was getting the questions together and get them entered in the computer,
it tripped you up.
It tripped me up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's still tripping me up a little bit. I don't know the answer for sure.
I think it's D. And it did. It tripped up the chat room that time around. Nobody got it right, and I
see a lot of A's and a B.
Yeah. I feel vindicated now. that I missed it when I was getting this stuff together. That is a toughie there.
That seems plausible.
But there's no rhyme or reason in my mind. I'm sure there is, but I can't come up with a good reason.
Wow, that little slice of 10 meters?
Yep. And nowhere else in HF.
Just because?
Or maybe there are other places.
And that's the only one they asked about?
That could be the case. What is the power limit for beacon stations? A, 10 watts PEP.
B, 20 watts PEP output.
C, 100 watts PEP output.
Or D, 200 watts PEP output. I want to say 10 watts, but I'm not sure. I guess I'm going to say 10 watts.
Okay.
There's a lot of that in the chat room.
Well, I feel better now because I think nobody got it right. Not you or the chat room or me when I was entering the questions last week.
What did you think it was when you were entering them?
I thought it was 10 watts. Chat rooms kind of mixed between 10 or 20 watts. Nobody said 100 watts. Oh, wait a minute. Tom says he did. Okay, Tom answered first. Sorry, Tom. You knew it. I didn't think it was 100, but it is.
Yeah, I was kind of leaning towards 100, but that just seems like a lot for a beacon to me.
Apparently not.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, no, apparently it's not 10. Who or what determines good engineering and good amateur practice as applied to the operation of an amateur station in all respects not covered by the Part 97 rules? A, the FCC.
B, the control operator.
C, the IEEE.
D, the ITU.
The IEEE.
Who or what determines good engineering and good amateur practice as applied to the operation of an amateur station in all respects not covered by Part 97 rules? The FCC, the control operator, the IEEE, or the ITU? Well, I know it's not the control operator because you could do anything if you were the control operator and say it was good.
Yeah.
But it may not be true. And I don't think it's the IEEE. They don't really play. Yeah. Them either. And I don't think it's the ITU. If you're in the United States, Part 97 is an FCC rule. But the FCC can call anything a good engineering or good amateur practices. They're going to be the one you're going to have to answer to if you're doing bad engineering and bad amateur practices. I'm going to say it's the FCC. Chat room. Mostly A, the FCC.
All right, here's your engineering.
And that's all the questions for this section of the exam.
That's all we got to say about that.
Yep. And I got to say, this was the general test. I think this may have been a new record for how many were missed.
There was only one buzzer.
For us. But yeah. A lot of people in the chat room were unsure about a lot of them, too.
That means they're in the right place for a refresher.
And I had missed two of these when I was initially doing them.
So that's three buzzers.
At least. So, they were a little bit tougher. This is only the second episode that we've covered on the general this time around. So there could be more buzzer action to come.
Bring it on. I'm ready.
Okay. So what if, you're going out this summer and all...
couldn't find a shirt.
All you had was flannel shirts, man. What could a fellow or a lady do?
Well, you could go to get one at shop.spreadshirt.com/amateurlogic. We've got all kinds of shirts there. Shirts, hoodies. It's a little hot for a hoodie right now.
Yeah.
Coffee cups. It's never too hot for a good cup of coffee. And then there's tumblers, all kind of travel mugs and stuff on there. Really cool stuff. So go check it out at shop.spreadshirt.com/amateurlogic.
So Amateur Logic swag and Ham College swag.
Yep.
Both.
Huntsville Ham Fest is coming up next month, August.
Yeah.
So anyway, come get your Amateur Logic swag and represent.
Yeah.
Hope to see some of you guys out there and ladies.
Whether you're wearing our shirts or someone else's.
Just please wear a shirt.
And come to the Ham Fest.
And the Ham Fest.
You can find out the exact dates on that Ham Fest. They have the best URL of any ham radio organization, I think.
Oh, hamfest.org?
Yep.
Yeah, it's not bad. Pretty easy to remember that one.
How did you know that we had a show for tonight?
You asked me if I was ready for class.
Well, other than that, if I hadn't asked.
If I didn't have any class?
Yeah.
Well, the notices go out. It's like magic. They show up on my Facebook feed. They show up on my X account, and they show up in my email. Facebook.com/groups/HamCollege will get you to the posts that are done right before a show.
Or you could follow at Ham College on X or Twitter.
And if you're not really into the social media thing, groups.io should be your bag. Groups.io/g/amateurlogic. More of a mail list thing. It's not much traffic on there, so you're not going to get spammed, and it's a good way to find out when the shows are going to happen, the live streams.
So what if I needed to know when a particular topic was covered on Ham College?
But don't ask me. You can go to amateurlog.tv/wiki and find it for yourself.
When they ask me, that's where I go look.
Yeah, same. I don't mind people asking, but where we go look for sure. Amateurlogic.tv/wiki.
Any final thoughts before we get out of here tonight, Dean?
No. All right, 7-3, everybody. Good night.
7-3.